Leadership is not just people at the top. It's not just CXO leaders. It's anybody who wants to lead something. What does that mean? It means shaping something.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to the tie-in, and thank you so much for listening. We're excited about season three, right? We're into it now, and yeah, it's just an exciting time, and also really wild time. And you know, we're thinking a lot about leadership, and you know, what it takes to show up in these challenging times, right? And it really takes digging in deep and understanding, like, yeah, what it's going to take. And that's part of our conversation here with Yasmin and part of the work that you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, I've been on a bit of a leadership, gone down the leadership rabbit hole over the last few months, just to be honest. Like, I've been doing a lot of reading, a lot of research, a lot of podcasts. And so when the opportunity came up to interview Yasmin at the Sustainable Production Forum in Toronto, I was super excited because she knows a lot about leadership, what it means, what it takes. And so we were able to have that conversation in front of a live audience, which is always fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I wasn't there, unfortunately. I couldn't make it.
But I know.
That's the way it is.
Would have been fun to have you and, have your contribution. But, it was fun. It was fun to be on a stage and do that. I really do enjoy it. It's, I always get nervous. Yasmin is so funny behind, in the green room before. She's like, doing her, fun, kind of pepping up, trying to pep us up. And it was so fun to work with her for this. So, kind of took her knowledge and kind of translated it into what leadership could look like in film and TV or entertainment. And so, I feel like we could have a lot of conversation with her and others.
She's just so tuned in. So I think that's also like her awareness of self and, around her and, that's again like defining the new wave of leadership and thinking about how we show up day to day. I think that's super important. I mean, that's what I've been just working on that as well. I mean, just my own work as a leader and entrepreneur and reinventing and reimagining myself and where I'm coming from. And yeah, so it's just all, we're on this path and the only thing that we know is that everything is impermanent and changing all the time. That's it.
I mean, like, look, it is time. It is time to think about it. It's time to talk about it. It's time to integrate, various actions or reimagine how we want to do things. Like, this is, we can't keep doing things the way we've been doing them forever. And, it takes people at all levels. And anyway, we get into that kind of stuff in this conversation.
I love it.
So,
okay, well, great. Well, thanks again for listening. Please don't forget to like and subscribe and share. And we hope you enjoy this conversation with Zena and Yasmin Glanville.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the tie-in. This is a... Thank you. Yes, this is a podcast all about sustainability in entertainment, the people doing amazing work behind the scenes. And sometimes we like to get a little broad and a little heady. And today we have Yasmin Glanville here, and she is the CEO and chief strategist of CTR Inc. and the founder of Rethink Sustainability Initiative, or RSI, which was founded 15 years ago and is in 8 countries right now. So Yasmin is a results and purpose-driven business strategist, entrepreneur, keynote speaker, and futurist with excellent leadership, innovation, and communication skills, a proven track record shaping and implementing forward-thinking design and transformation strategies for and with major and startup organizations, partnerships, communities, and groups around the world. So Yasmin, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice meeting you. I also want to acknowledge my colleague here, the founder of this forum. She's very shy about saying that. When did you found this forum?
Well, the Sustainable Production Forum was founded 10 years ago. So yay, we're 10. Thank you all for being here. Yeah. I want to know more about your journey and how you founded RSI.
Absolutely. So in December 2010, 15 years ago, we launched it in Canada, and we partnered with Marsh Discovery District and some other ones in Canada. But the main person who really encouraged us was Richard Branson. I called him and said, I really like what you're doing to help youth. What can we borrow from that that might apply to starting and shaping RSI? So he encouraged us to go to New York City and partner with the Carbon War Room. So we did, and some of those people are still part of RSI today, 15 years later. But why I bring that up is because today I came a bit early to listen to all your wonderful work that you're doing on the ground. My hope is that people at a leadership position in networks, companies, sponsors, and so on, that they invest more in you, because I think it's really important.
So you mentioned the word leadership.
Yes.
So I know that can sometimes be a word that we throw around a lot, and I want to dig in a little bit into what it actually means. So with all of your experience, can you help us better understand what leadership actually is?
Sure. Good question. It's really a mindset. Leadership is not just people at the top. It's not just CXO leaders. It's anybody who wants to lead something. What does that mean? It means shaping something, attaching a mission or purpose to that. So what are you shaping? Are you shaping a better world? Are you shaping a more green production? Are you shaping a more green, sustainable community? Like, what is it? So it's first defining what is the mission, what are you trying to change, and why? And who cares about that? So an example of that, RSI, since you mentioned RSI, the first round, or first year rather, I should say, it was a lot of the leaders that we met did not even know what that meant. So we said, let's embed it into the DNA of business, and that meant any kind of business, including advertising and filmmaking at the time. So it was connecting the dots, and why would people invest in that? How would that help the bottom line, the top line? How would that help their brand? And is it scalable, and will that help them future-ready their organization and themselves as individuals? So basically, in summary, is shaping the future by leading the way and helping others by inspiration and great vision.
So are leaders only people at the top, or how do you see it?
Anyone can be a leader, whether you're a camera person, you're a screenwriter, you're a producer, a designer, whether you're an investor, it doesn't really matter. Anyone can be a leader. I mean, for example, I've been mentoring a young person who's a teenager. It's one of my volunteer roles. He's a leader in tennis with his school, and he leads his fellow colleagues in tennis, and he's a leader, and people see him as a leader. He's 15 years old, right? And he's leading his troops, or his team, I should say, into really winning the championship, and they see him as a leader. He's 15. You can be 15, 20, it doesn't really matter. And the other thing is, today we have four generations today working. We have Gen Z up to boomers like me. So first time in history. So we have intergenerational workforce now, which was never the case before. Yeah, so that does that answer your question, or would you
like
to elaborate?
Yeah, so essentially, just to break it down, leaders can be anyone up and down the value chain, and they're really a person in an organization or within an ecosystem that sets the tone for that group of people.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
And I'm curious also, maybe not right now, but during Q&As, who in this room sees themselves as a leader?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to ask you, so get ready and tell us maybe something about leadership you've seen demonstrated out there. We want to know. Okay, so with that, one of the things I heard, I think Marianne say it earlier, I don't know if anyone caught it, but believing that you can actually do something, integrate sustainable practices, design with circularity in mind. Can we dive into this idea or connect the idea of belief and leadership? Like, how would you talk about that?
I would preface that by saying today, and I will answer that, there's an epidemic of loneliness and isolation today. So a lot of people feel isolated and alone and feel they don't have a voice. And that really prevents people from saying, I need information, I need help, I need support. That's the first thing. And to that, I would invite everyone to be courageous. And courage, by the way, is not being brave, it's a decision. It's a decision to say, I want to make a difference, I believe I can make a difference, but I need help. And here's the kind of help I need. So it's really defining what you want to do, what kind of help you need to make it, bring it to life, basically. And then how do you know it's working? Mm-hmm. So belief is number one. Believe in yourself. Because everyone here that I've met today, I've met several people. Everyone's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And it's believing that and recognizing that.
How do we get motivated to do that? To say I am strong, I can do it. I want to, you know, ask my supervisor for something. You know, how do we find the motivation, the internal strength?
Well, I think we can't do it alone. And mm-hmm. someone on the panel, earlier panel today, around 1 or 2:30, I think it was Miriam, I think, said it. We need to really tap into our local community. Community can be people inside an organization. It can be people we work with on a project basis or ongoing basis. It's really getting peer support. Mm-hmm. Because if I work by myself, it's very lonely. Mm-hmm. But if I reached out to people, to colleagues or peers, or mentor other people, well, I'm a mentor to a lot of teenagers as a volunteer, and I get so inspired by them, it reinforces my belief in the future. So it's really reaching out and saying, who can I partner with, collaborate with, learn from, mentor, so we're not working in isolation. That's really important. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, well, it kind of brings me to this idea of maybe role-specific work and this idea of collective impact. Mm-hmm. So can we dive into that a little bit? What does that mean for, you know, we sometimes say in sustainability, you know, think of production as a system, for example, and, you know, work towards sustainability with a holistic mindset. How does individual or role-specific versus collective impact fit into that idea?
Well, I think we have to have feedback loops. So if we work in isolation, I'll go back to that, mm-hmm. we don't know whether we're making the difference. When we put in place some measurements of success, we can say, hey, we did this, we did that, and here's how we know. So for example, in one of the panels, they talked about construction and repurposing. That's a feedback loop. Someone in design and construction coordination said they do this. That's a feedback loop. So it's looking at what the impact of our different roles are and then having some kind of a knowledge hub where that information is captured and shared so we can see the cross-pollination of those different impacts. I think what happens in when we work in the trenches, and I say that in a most respectful way, we're so driven by getting things done on time, under budget or on budget. We don't always have the bandwidth to look outside of that. I think we need to create that and find a way of supporting each other and having that sense of community and collaboration and mutual support. Because mm-hmm. that's how we get inspired. If we're working in isolation, we don't know. It's like working in a cave. And that gets pretty dark and cold.
Yeah, nobody likes that. Nobody likes that.
Well, except the cavemen. They love it.
I mean, that was only, they didn't live in there all the time, did they?
That's right. That's right.
Okay, so holistic approach means engaging the various aspects of the ecosystem. So if we put it into a perspective of film and TV, it's cross-pollinating between departments. I mean, I think we've picked up on that earlier today in some of the sessions, but it's the idea of, you know, the production design talking to construction, to use that example. It's the idea of the you know, folks above the line, maybe interfacing with the studio folks down in LA, maybe. It is the idea of creating feedback loops between and around positions and raising everyone up.
Yeah, and I would add one more thing is report up, because most of the people I've worked with in my latter part of my career has been CEOs and boards of directors and investors. And I always encourage them to talk to people who are actually doing the work. And we create a lot of bridges that way. And FYI, I used to be in advertising 100 years ago. I was a creative director and copywriter. And I sold my agency and moved into business, but I still like to consider myself somewhat creative. But I really think it's really important to look at the impact on the organization or the whole ecosystem and include the investors, include the CEOs, include the networks, because I live part-time, or used to live part-time, in New Mexico, and it's a film industry there. And when they do a set, for example, a lot of country and western movies are made there, they have in the past created ghost towns. Well, they repurpose the ghost towns into tourist destinations and housing for homeless people and marginalized citizens. And it's really successful. And so I think by reporting up and telling people at the top, hey, you're making the difference, whether you know it or not, and we're the ones driving it.
Well, I'm really curious. Okay, you said reporting up, communicating upward, letting people in. I want to say leaders, but you know, now that we've defined it, maybe they're not. Maybe they're in a certain position, but they're not acting like a leader. So I won't necessarily say that. But reporting to people upward, letting them know what's happening. What does that do for culture?
Okay, let me give you an example outside of film and entertainment. Let's take Unilever. Paul Polman used to be the chairman and CEO, and he is now working over in Europe and other things. He, in his leadership role, he made his mission to find out what was going on in the company in terms of its products, its services all over the world. And I went to a number of his gatherings, his leadership gatherings, and he made a point of making sure the dots were connected. And he said, we're not going to greenwash our company. We're going to find out what's really going on in the front line, the back end, in front of your terminology, in front of the camera, behind the camera. What's really going on? What can we replicate and scale? And what can we support financially? What can we support in terms of resources outside of money, in addition to money? So when I talk about impact, it's looking at that way. And it's giving the leaders, whoever they happen to be, a way of not greenwashing, a way of demonstrating what they're doing in a way that's measurable and scalable. I mean, hearing what you're doing, many of you are doing, let's take construction as one example of many that I heard today. Do the leaders know you're doing that? That's profound. And look at that outside of construction for film, the construction industry at large. Imagine talking to infrastructure companies around the world, whether it's infrastructure for highways and commercial buildings. That's a lesson all construction companies and industry can learn from you. I also heard people talk about recycling food and giving food to the daily bread food banks, etc. It's looking outside of your own industry and saying, connect the dots in a broader context, because they're looking for the same thing you're looking for, a way of making the difference and scaling that difference and ramping it up and creating a future-ready path, because they know that things are moving very quickly. And I mentioned earlier that AI is new electricity. AI is ramping that up even more. It's faster now than ever.
So looking outside one's industry, would this be what is considered a 360-degree or future-facing lens of looking at? Can you help me understand what that?
Aren't you fancy?
I'm reading the notes that you prepared. Can you help me understand what that is?
Absolutely. So let's imagine for a moment each person here in the room. You walk into a room. You don't know anybody, but you want to connect with people in a room to make a difference. So you scan the room, 360 view, and you go, who do I want to meet and for what purpose? And you meet people, and every person you meet has something to contribute to that thing you're creating in your mind. It's the same idea. So it's looking at things through the lens of a 360 lens and saying, where can I make the most difference, or where can I learn to make the most difference, And who can I connect with who may want to benefit from what I know, and I can benefit from what they know? So it's basically looking at things holistically and not assuming we know more. I play the role of student. Whenever I go to a new, like I was in France and Italy, I call myself a student. And when I did that, people told me so much. It was wonderful. I learned so much as a student. Did I impart some knowledge or share some? Of course I did. But it was framed as me being a student wanting to learn knowledge that I could bring back to this country, right? So it's a combination of not false humility, but not always pretending we know everything, because we don't. And now I want to go back to AI for a moment. AI is transforming so many things in the film industry, in every industry, actually, really. And people can be afraid of it, or they can embrace it. So I embrace it to find out how can we harness it as a force for good. Like Google, for example, they're doing that. Google is harnessing AI as a force for good, and so is Microsoft in different ways. And they're putting safeguards in place to say, it's good for this, but not for that, and saying what the safeguards are, and not being blind about it. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of deviating from your question a little bit, but I do that.
That's okay. I've got a couple comments. The first one is, if you want to dive into a great conversation on ethical AI, we did a session at the SPF in Vancouver on that, and I'm sure the content will be available. So I would encourage you to look that up and listen to that. It was a fantastic conversation. Separately, I want to go back to, what you said. It made me think of this, I think we need it so much today, this idea of being authentic and how authenticity, breeds, culture, if you will, like helps people lean into whatever it is you're trying to do. And in this case, sustainability. So, what does it mean to work with a sense of authenticity as opposed to the kind of, maybe fear-based or maybe egotistical side of like, I know it all, I can do, I've got it.
Authenticity is being real. We can always sniff out people who are not being real, people who are not being authentic. And to cultivate a culture of trust, whether it's for your family, for a team, for a project, for an ongoing initiative, is being real. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to say, I don't know. One of the things that we are trained to be in Canada, at least anyway, is to be very shy about saying what you don't know. I think it's okay to say, I don't know. Because it takes courage to say, I don't know. I mean, there's so much I don't know. And by saying I don't know, people then realize that I don't know everything, and nor would I ever know everything. In fact, no one can know everything. And so a lot of the work that I've done over the last year, for example, was one called Big Shift that I worked on with a group of people from different countries. And the ones that were most credible stood up openly and said, I don't know that. I know this, but I don't know that. But together, we're going to really create something wonderful, right? And it wasn't about title or rank or file. We had CEOs, chairman of boards, film producers, writers, journalists, et cetera, all in the same room. And we didn't differentiate by rank and file. We were there for a purpose. And by being authentic, we showcased the diversity and the value of each of our roles collectively. And we called that tapping into collective intelligence. That was the theme.
This ties it all together, or may I say this is a tie-in moment for me. Okay, so by saying that, what I am imagining, and I'm sure this can go for any organization, but we have filmmakers here, people in the industry, what I'm imagining, this sort of collective confidence, this authenticity, this ability to say, I don't know, but I know someone who does, and together we can do a thing. In my mind, that's make a film or a TV show, right?
Absolutely.
So this is the maybe rethinking of what it means to develop a culture of collective confidence in sustainability on production.
Yeah, and I would build on that by saying not only sustainability, because that word is not always known by people.
That's right. That's true.
So I think we need to find a common language that really connects people in an everyday language, because I love that word, obviously. I'm biased. But it's not a known or word for everybody. So it's redefining. Last week, we launched a book, plug here. I was one of 30 authors. It's called The New Sustainability Edge, Redefining Business. And in the people who came, it was from four different countries, wrote it. And the main common thing was finding a common language, an everyday language. So rather than saying some fancy word for something, and say, we want to make the world a place we can live in for a long time, as an example. I'm not saying that's the way we describe it, but find some way of describing it that a five-year-old understands, right? I love the word, and if we can maybe match that with a definition to go with it that inspires and engages and inspires the people we want to invest in that. And I do think that we need to think about money. I mean, money is a dirty word to some people, but we need money to pay for things. We still live in a monetary society. And sometimes having exchange, value exchange based on volunteering is one thing, but how do we get people to invest in this? So my challenge to all of us, myself included, is how do we get our country, for example, to invest in really mobilizing the right ideas that you all had today and that you brought with you and that you will continue to develop. How do we invest in making the difference that's meaningful and scalable, that not only for people in the industry, but we can share with people outside the industry and create some bridges between the different stakeholder groups, because that's really essential. A lot of CEOs want to make a difference, so if you give them a chance to make a difference in a language they understand, they're more apt to invest. If it's a global company, oftentimes their team around them filter the conversation. They're only given the Reader's Digest version of what they hear. So you're all brave, creative people. Tell them.
So this brings me to an idea of storytelling.
Yes.
So a lot of times we hear, you know, it's more so now in the last few years, this idea of storytelling, climate storytelling. It's really, you know, what kind of in the context of what you see on screen. And what I'm hearing you say is, you know, it can also be what we do in our organization and how we talk to each other. So can we dive into that a little bit and what that kind of maybe reframing of storytelling might
be? Yeah, well, think of yourself as a five-year-old. When you had a book read to you, a story was read to you, we still remember those stories. So it's telling stories to each other, telling stories to our children, telling stories at work where we work, if we work at an organization, and from the inside out. And not only in the context of films and commercials, but social media. I mean, I came here by Uber, plug for Uber, and the driver, I asked him, I said, do you watch movies? He says, no, I'm a social media guy. I get all my things from social media and replays on social media. I said, what are you interested in? He goes, I'm interested in making a difference, but I'm very busy, so I listen to my social media for 50 minutes every day. I have my own channels, and that's what I do. I said, perfect. So it's thinking outside the box and telling stories in different channels where people are. So teenagers don't watch movies so much. They're all on, they gamify things. It's finding the communication channel that the stakeholders are connected with. And going back to senior leaders, they don't watch movies that much either. They have the attention span of a net. So if you can get it in 5 minutes, they'll listen, right? So most of them, they go through things like LinkedIn, or they have their EA talk to get things for them on LinkedIn. You know, or what are some of the other ones? There's Facebook. Help me, guys.
Instagram.
What else do you have?
YouTube.
What? YouTube. There you go. See? We're already collaborating. So it's finding out that is finding those channels and connecting, telling your story in those channels, but being consistent so that the message is consistent and credible and authentic. Mm-hmm. If it's a different message for every channel, they'll go, wait a second, he said this and here and that over there. So it's finding ways of resizing the message to fit the channel, but be consistent in the core message. And also, people want recognition. So a challenge I present with your tie-in, mm-hmm. and all everyone here is, how can we create something that society gets behind?
Well, yeah, and so this is what I'm really interested in, because we're trying to do it with the tie-in and talking about bringing people on to tell their stories, but I also really love the idea of people, and I think it was mentioned earlier, sharing information about the impacts of what's going on production with the community of filmmakers making that production. So whether that be, through, a weekly newsletter, for example, to kind of, summarize impacts or whatnot. That to me is a story. It's a story of what just happened, what you all are doing together for that project.
Totally.
And so that to me is... if we can do that more, and it doesn't even have to be written down, it can just be talking to each other. But that is one of my interests is how do we talk about this more? I mean, I think we are seeing more, behind the scenes and, cool videos about sustainability on set, large studios will curate those and put them out. But you all work on set. Like, it's not that perfect every day, every time. Those are highly curated behind the scenes videos, and I'm so glad they're putting them out there. But back to your point, like, what's the authentic nature of the story? Right. What happened? And if we can be real and talk to each other about it, I think that's going to take us all forward. And every day, not just a few times a year, but how do we do this more often to find pathways for that? And what does that do for culture?
It's interesting. An idea just popped into my head, and you can all laugh at this, is what if there were some kind of a global speaker's corner where all of you can go on the speaker's corner, on a digital speaker's corner, and share your wisdom after a production or before a production and share it. And it's subscription-based so that people who want to support it financially can subscribe, of course, become a member. And you can go on there and share your wisdom and connect with people across the different countries around the world. Just an idea. Or have a game show that talks about, harness your professional expertise and have a game show or a contest that shows this. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm digressing here.
Well, anyway, I think it's all to say that storytelling is important behind the camera just as much as it is
totally
in front of the camera.
Yeah, and with each other. Mm-hmm. From the inside out.
Yeah, from the
Sounds
inside out.
Sounds very zen, doesn't it?
It does. It does. I see in our notes, broaden the KPIs to prioritize a people-first culture. Can you help me understand what that means?
Sure. So on the business side, I'll come back to film and entertainment in a second. On the business side, oftentimes the bottom line is the only metric. Are we making money? Are we profitable? Are we prosperous? And all the other beautiful advancements are ignored, socially, economically, outside of the bottom line we're talking, environmentally. And I think that's really a shame. And it's getting less and less so because there's a lot of pressure from the United Nations and other SDGs that are being put forward. But I think it's really important to broaden the KPIs even in the film industry as well and say, what are we doing that's really helping society? Someone talked about local communities. I'm not quite sure who said that, but someone said that. It's saying, for example, let me go back to Santa Fe, which I know. When they do a movie down there, they connect the dots with the local community and say, what can we do to enhance the culture of Santa Fe? Whether that's helping with homeless people or having food banks, more food rather, or revitalizing the community, they do something to connect the dots. So on another perspective is looking at finding KPIs that go beyond just the film. So I know I heard today talk about, the green industry and There was a carbon calculator, for example. Those are some of the things there. But also, socialize the conversation so that people understand what it means outside of the film and entertainment business. Because people that you want to invest in you, they need to know what it means and how it benefits them and how it benefits society at large.
I think film and TV is such a cool industry because it is a collection of lots of industries all in one. We've got, you know,
totally.
Transportation and construction and accounting and finance and, you know, lots of different industries kind of converge. Food services, you know, the, you know, government in the sense of a like production office overseeing everything. And, you know, so there are a lot of cool ways to bring influences from other industries in and also to influence other industries in that regard as well.
Exactly. And also in the film industry and entertainment, collaboration is a huge, huge expertise that you all have. I mean, you're the best at it. I mean, oftentimes companies will say, oh, you know, and when you're pulling people together for a production, people come together quickly, they share their expertise, they produce something wonderful, and then they disband. In companies, they don't do that. They should learn to do that. So I think you also have a lot to share that way as well.
Thank you, Yasmin, for this fun conversation. And
I have one more comment to make.
Yeah,
now.
Go ahead. One more comment to wrap
one
it up.
One more comment, and we're down to the wire here. And that is that, so but we're not talking to our own selves, I would encourage you or invite you to consider having a forum where you invite senior decision makers who are the investors. Invite the networks. Invite the CXO leaders to come and encourage them to come, and they pay to come, to share your wisdom. Because then you're talking to people who can invest in you and accelerate the readiness of what you're doing and mobilize it. Because whether we're talking to each other is great, but to really get things going and ramp it up, that's my challenge and invitation to all of you.
All right. Well, that is for next time.
Yes.
Thank you all very much. Really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, Yasmin.
Thank you for the opportunity. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Our designer is Aaliyah Kane. Music is by Peter Chapman. Social media is by Sharon Ewan. Our editor and producer is Rachel Werbel.